Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All is right with the world because if the playoffs were to begin today, the St. Louis Cardinals would be in postseason play. Based on their body of work since Mike Schilt took over as the manager, we will visit with Mike Schilt during the Mike Schilt Show coming up in our next segment here on KMOX. A happy Sunday morning to you. I'm Mike Kelly. James O'Sullivan is our board operator and producer this morning. This is Sports on a Sunday. It is a tradition here on KMOX. Happy to have you with us here on my favorite radio station, News Radio 1120 KMOX. Also this hour, we're going to talk about the big motor racing event coming up, taking place at Gateway. Curtis Francois, who's the owner of Gateway, will join us coming up at about 10:50. Hour number two, Kyle McClellan will visit with us. We're going to talk about the economic of sports with Dr. Patrick Risch. How much money did the PGA Championship bring to the St. Louis region? Brooks Koepka wins his third major in five attempts, but yet he's not seen on many commercials, is he? Why? We'll talk to Patrick Risch about that coming up at 11:20 this morning. John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, joins us at 11:30, and we'll close the show talking college football with Dennis Dodd. Season 2 weeks away. The Big Ten has two head coaches on administrative leave. Those and other stories coming up with Dennis Dodd at about 11:45 this morning. Let's get to the headlines. Cardinals have won seven consecutive series after beating Milwaukee Saturday evening 7-2. With the win, the Redbirds move into second place in the Central and into a wild card spot with 6 weeks left in the regular season. Down 1-0 in the first, Marcell Ozuna put St. Louis on the board.
Now he pitches. Swing, and we're tied. 1-1. The home run goes into Big Mac land, and then out of Big Mac land as it hits a rail up there. Wow. Did he nail that thing? We're tied 1-1. Leadoff home runs by first Shaw, and now Ozuna as he touches them all.
450 feet the baseball traveled last night. In the third, Matt Carpenter reached on a fielder's choice. Yadier Molina would strike out, but the ball got away from Brewers catcher Eric Kratz. So with Carpenter at second, Molina at first, Tyler O'Neill took advantage.
The pitch is swung on. He got in on him in a high pop fly, short right field. Trouble. Long run in for Trouble. Broxton, and it falls. The Cardinals get a run. Molina to third, and it's a hit. As Aguilar, the first baseman, couldn't catch it. Broxton couldn't get there from right field. Shaw couldn't make the play from second. The Cardinals have the lead 2-1.
Paul DeJong was next.
With the shift on, the pitch. A swing and a ground ball, base hit to right field. That's where the second baseman would normally be playing. Two runs scored. Ozuna goes over to third as Molina and O'Neill cross the plate. The Cardinals have a three-run inning and a 4-1 lead.
It was 4-1 in the sixth. With two on, Harrison Bader stepped in.
Here's a line drive into right center. This is down. It goes to the wall. Let's watch the man from first come all the way around third and see if he can score. Here's the throw. It goes over to third, and it's a triple. It's a triple for Bader, and he drives home two, and the Cardinals now lead it 6-1.
Bader wasn't done in the eighth inning. The Cardinals center fielder turned in this defensive gem.
The 3-1 pitch. A swing and a fly ball, short center field. On comes Bader. He dives. He makes the catch.
That speed's amazing, isn't it?
Boy, did he close fast on that, left his feet. He's congratulated by Ozuna on left center field. Bader watched that one, went into a dive, caught the ball, went into a slide on the outfield grass, and managed to hang on, and the fans love it.
Fans loved it indeed. I was there standing ovation for Bader as he made a terrific defensive play. Miles Michaelis gets the win, allowing one run over six innings of work. St. Louis 14-3 now in the month of August. Matt Carpenter's on-base streak ends at 35 games. John Gant will start this afternoon as the Redbirds look for the sweep. The star of the game last night was Paul DeJong.
Our player of the game this evening is Cardinal shortstop Paul DeJong this evening. Three RBIs, two hits. Let's talk about the stolen base.
First one of the year. I got one earlier, then I came off the bag. So I like the aggressiveness. Hopefully they look to take some more.
And everybody's aggressive these days. Everybody's running. Everybody's going first to third. What changed?
I think we just do a better job of preparing. We know who guys we can run on. We prepare like we want to play hard every day. And I think we're playing a better brand of baseball.
You defeated the shift this evening. Everybody was going in one direction. You just dropped one up the middle where the second baseman normally would be.
Yeah, I was just staying back with two strikes. He gave me a fastball. I kept my hands inside and probably my weakest two RBI single of my life, but I'll take it and take another dub tonight.
It shows up in the scorebook any way you like to see it. What about this ball club? You guys have now won seven series in a row. You've now moved ahead of Milwaukee. Things are going in the right direction for you.
Just some good energy. Guys come to the park every day ready to play. We got some good momentum, and we're just all feeding off each other.
Nice to have over 1,000 stolen bases in the park with Lou Brock and Vince Coleman, and now Paul DeJong can be in that conversation.
Yeah, they're inspiring. It was great to see those guys out here, the new Hall of Fame class, and it's inspiring for us to try to play up to their level.
Nice work tonight.
Thanks, Mike.
Paul DeJong, our player of the game.
Mike Claiborne with Paul DeJong on the Cardinals broadcast after the game. Elsewhere in baseball, the Mets beat Philadelphia 3-1. Jacob DeGrom goes the distance. He lowers his major league leading ERA to 1.71. Miami over Washington 7-5-10. The Pirates score three in the second. They hang on to beat the Cubs 3-1. In 10 innings, it was Colorado 5, Atlanta 3, Cincinnati 7, San Francisco 1, San Diego 7, Arizona 6. In the American League, the Yankees hit four home runs. They beat Toronto 11-6. Oakland beat Houston 7-1. So the A's pull into a first-place tie. They make up 10 games since July the 10th. Houston's dropped six of its last seven games, 12 of its last 19. Baltimore 4, Cleveland 2. Kansas City beat the White Sox 3-1. Boston 5, Tampa Bay 2. J.D. Martinez hit number 38. Detroit over Minnesota 7-5. It was the Angels over Texas 11-7. Albert goes 3-for-4 with a solo home run. He was able to drive in four runs on the night. The Red Sox have returned ace Chris Sale to the 10-day DL due to recurring shoulder inflammation that put him on the shelf earlier this month. He returned Sunday, struck out 12 in five innings against the Orioles. He's 12-4 with a 1.97 ERA. Giants have activated reliever Hunter Strickland from the 60-day DL. Elsewhere in college football, LSU says junior wide receiver Drake Davis has been suspended indefinitely following his arrest for allegedly hitting and threatening a woman that he was dating. Also from the SEC freshman tailback Zamir White of Georgia suffers his second ACL in as many years. He is done for the season. Brant Snedeker owns a three-stroke lead heading into the third round of the Wyndham Championship, was suspended yesterday because of severe weather. He was 16 under with 11 holes left in the third round. Those are the headlines of the day. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll have the Cardinals manager, Mike Shildt, with us as the Mike Shildt Show gets underway here on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
This is a special edition of Sports Open Line. Welcome to the Mike Shildt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
18 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I'm Mike Kelly. Our coverage of Cardinal baseball begins at 12:20 this afternoon. The Ambrin pregame show, Alex Ferrario will have it for you as the Redbirds look for the sweep today against the Brewers, sending John Gant to the mound. Last time he took the bump was against the Nationals on Tuesday night. He goes 5 1/3, also hit a two-run homer. Redbirds win last night 7-2. Mike Shildt joins us from the ballpark. Good morning. How are you, Skip?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing terrific. And, you know, last night was a lot of fun, but the activities at the ballpark and surrounding Ballpark Village actually began in the afternoon when new members of the Hall of Fame class, Harry Burkine, Ray Langford, and Vince Coleman, all inducted. Before the game, you know, they were introduced to the crowd. Whitey Herzog in the house, a number of other Cardinal Hall of Famers. Just a real special day, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. So special. you know, I wish we could do it every day, see those guys and have them around and be able to acknowledge them and honor them. And obviously congratulations to the new members and Vince Coleman and Ray Langford and the Vergine family. That's really fantastic, well-deserved honor.
Hey, did you get a chance to spend any time with Whitey yesterday?
I did, actually. I went over to the luncheon and was able to catch up with Whitey, and he was gracious enough to give me some of his time and some encouragement and wisdom, so I was really appreciative of that.
What are some of the things you might have talked about, if you don't mind sharing?
You know, he just talked about just style of play and, you know, some things that really just more, you know, they're all baseball-related, encouragement, a little bit of strategy, a little bit of, you know, expectation, you know, some things along those lines.
The way your team has played since you took over, the aggressiveness that's come with it on the base paths, you have drawn some comparisons to the way that Whitey used to handle his teams. When you hear that, Mike, again, how do you react?
I mean, I'm really humbling, right? I mean,
yeah.
Talking about an icon, rightfully so. You appreciate, you know, not trying to emulate necessarily anybody. I appreciate the comparison to it. We're just trying to play baseball and be available and ready for opportunity when they present themselves. And that's look at our skill set of what we have in the club and let guys, you know, be free to play the game and be ready to play the game. So, that's a style of play that, you know, we're trying to use the best out of what we have and use our resources and try to be aggressive.
Yeah, try to be aggressive, but aggressiveness comes with preparation, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I think, we're confident in the fact that, you know, the more we prepare and the more we think ahead and the more you are aware of situations, the more when you get into competition, you just trust it and it allows you to be free and that which leads to the proper kind of aggression.
For the ninth time in the last 11 starts, Miles Michaelis allows the opponent two runs or less. He gives up just one run on a Travis Shaw home run in the first inning last night, then settled in. He was really good once again.
Really good once again. You know, he did. He makes pitches and he throws quality strikes, throws the ball to both sides of the plate. And, last night he was able to really make some pitches and, you know, strand out that leadoff double and with Kane and got to have a second and third situation. And he just he bared down and made some really, really quality pitches.
Was that a message to Kane?
No. You know, that's I can appreciate his reaction, but. Listen, if you watch this team all year, that's not how we send messages. That's not, what's the point? You know, I mean, there's not a hitter in the league that I've seen this year that's had any issue with how we pitch guys. And, you know, we're not going after guys. And Miles has got, you know, plenty of good stuff. But I understand Dane's reaction. Clearly, you know, there's, you know, he's been hit a couple times and it's not our intent whatsoever. That's not how we view competition and you know, but no, there was absolutely no intent of that.
So that set off, though, a series of events that unfolded in the bottom half because Wade Miley skips one inside on Tyler O'Neill. Corey Blazer, the home plate umpire, quickly warns both teams and also Miley as well. To say that Craig Counsell lost his mind might be an understatement at that point in time. Just walk me through what you watched as you quietly stood there on the first base line and watched all that unfold.
I get all of it, you know. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I've got our own side to think about and worry about. So, Ted or no one, I don't know. You know, I mean, they're playing the game. We're playing the game. You know, it's not a – I understand. You know, I didn't think twice about it, really. And, Corey made a decision to warn both sides, and Craig took exception to it, which is completely within his right to do so and did. And, you know, respectful of how he – always respectful of how he played and how he goes about his business. And then, you know, I just want to stay out of the way and be respectful there, too. And – you know, the reason I was, you know, I just wanted to get some confirmation about And you clearly saw that both sides were warned. And I just want to make sure that we realize that, you know, if something happened on either side later, that Corey was aware that, you know, he make sure there's intent. You know, I mean, balls get away from people. You know, I mean, no one's trying to hit anybody. But later in the game, Garcia got hit. And I don't think there was any question that was unintentional. You know, I didn't say anything. Nobody on our team said anything. And, you know, Corey rightfully just let him go to first and, you know, kept their guy in the game. So, you know, it's baseball. Things happen. And I didn't think anybody handled anything inappropriately at all.
Hey, you got to admit, though, and you have not been run yet in a game, at least at this level, but Council got his money's worth.
Yeah, he did. Man, he got after it. You know, there's no question about that. It was. He got after it for sure.
Yeah. Marcelo Ozuna, bottom of the first inning, unloads on a Miley pitch. Traveled 450 feet in and out of Big Mac land. His 15th home run of the season. That thing was a majestic shot, to say the least.
Majestic shot. And, you know, they're all, you know, timing's always good and get a home run. But, you know, Chaw just got there hitting his. And, you know, Marcel, I mean, comes back in and loads on one immediately, you know, to start the next inning to get the game back to 1-1. And that was an impressive shot in the Big Mac land.
Cardinals have homered down 11 consecutive games. That's the longest active streak in the majors, five shy of what was the longest streak set this year, 16 by the Phillies a little bit earlier in the season. Okay, let's go to the third inning. Colton Wong singles, but then gets drilled in the elbow by Miley. He would stay on and run the bases. Eventually would have to lead the game with an elbow contusion. Any update on him this morning?
Yeah, I just saw Colton in the food room, talked a little bit about it. He's got more grip strength and a little more feeling in his hand. And, you know, he's not in the lineup to start. And, you know, me and the medical staff and him are going to do what they can and get him as ready, available to do, you know, what we'll evaluate what he can do, come off the bench, play defense, picking a bat, whatever. But we'll get a better handle on that. Doesn't look like anything's going to be, you know, overly serious, but it's something he's dealing with today.
Pass ball allowed Yadier Molina to reach base, which would have been the third out in the game, or third out in the inning. The inning then would go on to produce three runs. Paul DeJong comes through with a big two-run single, beating the shift in that at-bat, Mike.
Yeah, you know, you look at little things, at least we do, about how things happen and sometimes get unnoticed. And, you know, Carpenter really busts his butt down the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, keeps the inning going. And, you know, Yadi strikes out and, you know, immediately goes into competition mode and gets after it down the line. I mean, he was getting after it. And, you know, so not only is that impressive, but also the fact that, you know, a couple minutes earlier, not a bat, he fouls him off his leg that clearly gave him some discomfort. And if it gives that guy discomfort, then you know it's hurting. And, you know, not 3-5 minutes later, he's hightailing it down the line and, you know, extends the inning. And then O'Neill gets, you know, single to right. And DeJong, really nice piece of hitting with two strikes, just staying on the ball for a two-run single. So, three-run inning that's allowed to be created by honestly just sheer effort and determination.
Couple more questions for Mike Shildt, and this is the first segment of the Mike Shildt Show. Heard every Sunday morning in this time frame on KMOX. Harrison Bader, triple to drive in a run in the sixth inning, then again shows off the speed with a defensive gem in the eighth. Kid's just fun to watch, Michael.
Fun to watch, yeah. Exciting player, and, you know, he's. We talk about it, and I always give Gary LaRocque credit because our farm director, because it's always stuck with me when he describes a player, you know, how does a player beat the other team? It's just effectively why we show up every day. And, you know, Harrison can do it in a lot of different ways. And the thing I'm really impressed with Bader about is he's getting more consistent in what that looks like. You know, he's always played hard, that's for sure, ever since I've seen him from day one. You know, he gets out of the box, but he's taking good at-bats, staying on the ball. He drove that ball into right center, you know, big two-run triple. You know, he's getting after it, and, you know, he's really working on his defense. Just an exciting player. You know, he's looking to make plays, hungry to make plays, hungry to make something happen, and just appreciate the way he plays with that hunger.
What makes him so special defensively is his ability to see balls off the bat so quick and get a good jump. Is the route, the path that he takes to baseballs, or is it just his overall athletic ability?
I think it's a combination, Mike. You know, you're talking about, you know, there's a lot of you know, once you get to a certain point, there's a lot of guys with similar skill sets. You know, the separator is no longer necessarily physical ability. You know, guys have kind of separated themselves physically through the amateur and the, maybe the low minor league ranks. But, you know, once they get here, it's typically no longer about physical ability as much. It now comes into play about other aspects, your willingness to put your time in, prepare, game plan, you know. And Harrison's a really, really tireless worker about his defense. You know, he's really conscious about going out and getting to work. And, you know, Willie goes out there with him. And, you know, he's always constantly working on, you know, his routes and getting balls off the bat. And, you know, when we go on the road, you know, getting balls off the wall and know what's going on there. And, you know, so his preparation's really first class. And he's taking the approach to the place going really well. Mm-hmm. So. You know, he's a guy that, you know, is using his skill set, but is ready when the game goes because he's preparing the correct way. A lot of credit to Bader.
Last question this segment. Matt Carpenter's hustle allowed him to reach on a fielder's choice, but his on-base streak ends at 35. Mike, if you look back to the start of the homestand on Monday, he and Yachty, as important as they've been during this stretch of good baseball, they're a combined 5-for-48 at the plate right now during the homestand. Might it be time for a day off for him?
You know, the thing that's interesting about, I mean, yeah, I mean, sure, you know, we can give guys days off and they'll get their appropriate days off. But I find it interesting to me that, and I understand it clearly, the easiest thing to be able to point towards is, you know, the offensive numbers. And they're real. You know, I mean, 5-for-48. But we also recognize it's a couple points to this. Mm-hmm. You know, if people are hitting the balls hard. I mean, Yachty just missed two homers. We had 800, you know, they let off the game another day with 800 feet worth of outs.
Right.
Deep fly ball to center. Yachty, deep fly ball to center. Yachty, you know, taking good swings. Carp hit some balls, hit a ball, you know, Broxton makes a nice play down the line on. Hits the ball right to second base on the screws yesterday. So, you know, how different those numbers look if, you know,
mm-hmm.
the balls fall in.
Sure.
You know? So I do get it. The numbers are real, but you got to look a little beyond what that looks like. And then you look at what things look like. Yachty's catching pretty good.
You know, you think?
He's calling a pretty good game. You know, he's blocking really well. You know, he's doing a ton of other things. You know, the effort we mentioned on both those guys getting down the line. Now, if you saw guys that were just dragging all over the place and their bat was dragging and they're making a lot of soft outs and, you know, they weren't getting off the ball defensively or they weren't engaged with what's going on defensively and they weren't, you know, being able to get down the line. I mean, Matt Carpenter, he got after it every single time he hit a ball on the ground yesterday. He was down that line. So those are the tells for me, at least, that indicate that these guys are in a pretty good spot and ready to go and play in competition mode. And, you know, I speak to him almost on a daily basis, you know, and touch base with him at the game. And, you know, I've got some experience with players and, you know, and I've got the ability to monitor, that's part of my job, monitor energy. But I also am respectful of, you know, guys playing the game right and contributing and competing in a manner that they are.
Good stuff. Appreciate that answer. It's 10:32 in St. Louis. I'm Mike Kelly. The Mike Schilt Show underway. We're going to take a break. More with the Cardinals manager after this on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
This is a special edition of Sports Open Line.
Welcome back to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Redbirds look for the sweep coming up this afternoon with John Gant on the mound. Matt Carpenter leads off and plays first. Yadier Molina behind the plate. Tyler O'Neill in right. Osuna in left. DeJong at short. Jerko at third. Bader will play in center. Garcia at second base. And again, Gant on the mound. Friday night, Redbirds win by the score of 5-2. As at that point, they moved one half game out of the wild card spot. And Jack Flaherty, the 22-year-old, terrific. He goes six scoreless innings, allows just three hits, strikes out seven. He walked three, goes to 7-6 on the season. Hey, Mike, how impressed are you with the preparation in between starts that Flaherty does as he gets set for the next one?
I'm extremely impressed by Jack on a lot of areas, but his preparation is really exemplary. He's very dedicated to his through all aspects of his in-between starts. you know, clearly the game you're starting is the game that's, you know, you're in competition and people are noticing, but what you're doing in between that, and there's a lot that goes into that between, you know, how he takes care of his body, you know, how he's game planning, how he's taking care of his side work. And at every turn, this guy's really got intent to what he's doing. He's got a method for what he's doing. I know he's reached out and has had some counsel and wisdom from other guys, some veteran guys, you know, even Chris Carpenter, Wainwright. But, you know, ultimately Jack deserves the credit for being open to that and seeking it and then doing it. And Jack's impressive.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that he even reached out maybe yesterday to Bob Gibson and approached him. I would have loved to have heard that conversation.
Yeah, it gave me goosebumps. I came in from the on-field presentation, which that gave me goosebumps for sure.
Yeah.
And then I walk in the dugout, and you see Bob Gibson and Jack locked up in conversation. And I was like, wow, good for Jack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smart move. That's Jack. You know, he's open to, you know, I've said this, and I believe it, you know, you get the best experience is your own experience, and that allows you to grow and learn. And that the tough ones, experiences are the best ones, and we grow from them. Hopefully we do and take advantage of them. That's what we get every day in life. But really, you know, the other thing about experience is learning through other people's and being smart enough to accelerate your learning curve through other people that have done it. And I always applaud people that are willing to seek out and look for somebody, especially the stature of Bob Gibson, that can give you information and share something that can make your career go forward, make you as a human go forward.
Let me give you a little bit of a personal note on Bob Gibson. When I started at KMOX in 1988, at the tender age of 26 years old, among the first things that I had the opportunity to do were post-game sports open lines following Cardinal baseball games with one Bob Gibson each and every night. You want to talk about a young guy that just tried to be a sponge and listen to everything he had to say?
Good for you. What a blessing for you.
Yeah, man, it was remarkable. And then, you know, the late Bob Bregg and Bob Burns and guys that have seen this sport for years and years and years and the stories that they relate. I mean, yeah, just it was a treasure. I was really blessed to have that opportunity at a young age. All right, let's go back to our guy Flaherty, because he's allowed four or fewer runs in all 20 of his starts. He trails only Max Scherzer with an average of 11.03 strikeouts per nine innings. 134 strikeouts on the season. You look at his arsenal that's available. What's his best pitch right now, Mike?
Yeah, the good news is it's getting harder and harder to tell you his best pitch, but I think his best consistent pitch is probably his slider. It's from a spin rate and from a TrackMan standpoint, him and Scherzer are the two best in the game. Or is what that looks like, and I can't speak completely intelligently about what those numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
Just know the facts. It's a swing and miss, late wipeout slider. But you know, the other thing is his fastball command. There, he's got late movement on his ball. You know, Jack's got weapons.
Yeah, and the interesting thing too is that they, as you just mentioned, they continue to develop, they continue to evolve, which is somewhat rare, isn't it, for a young guy?
It's what you hope for, clearly. It's about taking advantage of your experience every time out, regardless of younger or older, whatever the case may be, is just continual improvement and evolution. But the acceleration of what Jackson will do and study his craft and to continue to improve and to look to is pretty impressive, because that also speaks to his aptitude.
Yeah, it certainly does. Okay, let's go to the eighth on Friday night. Jordan Hicks comes in out of the pen. He allows the first four batters that he faces to reach base. You had an opportunity at that point in time to bring in Chase and Shreve. You decided to stick with Hicks. What was going through your mind? What was behind the decision?
Well, he Colton makes the play to lead off the inning, and then four guys straight get on. And you know, we got 3-0 lead. It goes with 3-2 lead. Aguilar missed a single to the left. Got Shreve ready for Shaw, and you know, just wanted to be ready to get my head around. They've got the pitcher behind Shaw. They still have, you know, a fairly full bench. They're carrying 5 guys on their bench. So I really, you know, they pitched for Shaw a small handful of times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just said, well, I like Hicks' stuff. And the matchup would be better with Hicks versus Shaw than maybe 3 versus Braun. And, you know, Jordan's been our guy. And, you know, every pitcher is a pitch or two away from being out of any jam. You know, and this guy's got amazing stuff, and he's been really good for us, and just trusted him, you know. And it's not to say that I don't think Shreve could have come in, he would have got Shaw, and he could have got Braun, just because I think he could have, just, you know, stay with what we had, you know, trust Jordan, and he was able to make the pitches and hold it where it was.
That is the voice of Cardinals manager Mike Shildt. I'm Mike Kelly. Our final segment of the Mike Shildt Show here on KMOX comes your way after this on News Radio 1120.
This is a special edition of Sports Open Line.
Welcome back to the Mike Shildt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Final segment of the show with the Cardinals skipper as the Redbirds get set to take on Milwaukee before hitting the road to begin a series in Los Angeles on Monday. Today it'll be John Gant on the mound. Hey, Mike, an evaluation so far of what you've seen from Tyson Ross since he made his way to your team.
Yeah, really impressed by Tyson. You know, he's really, first of all, he's fit in really well in the clubhouse. He's a really high character, professional, good work ethic, you know, get after it, good teammate guy. Mm-hmm. So you appreciate that. And then he's done a really nice job in what's a tough role, you know, being the longer man. And he got a nice spot start for Weaver when he, you know, cut his finger, and did a good job over in Kansas City, and got us through 6 innings there, and was able to give us a chance, and we were able to win the game, and more than you can ask for. And then the other day comes in and, you know, gives up a soft little base hit to Harper in a tough situation with the bases loaded, and then settles down, has an unearned run the next frame, and then 2 scoreless frames after that to get us through the 7th. And, you know, those are big innings, not only for the competition of that game, but also to, you know, help, you know, the other guys in the bullpen stay fresh. So,
yeah.
Quality addition.
All right, so let's look a little bit. We got to go back to Wednesday night, man, because that was a scary moment in the 7th inning when Matt Grace hits Matt Carpenter, you know, on the knuckles. Thank goodness everything was the x-rays were negative. He obviously was able to play the next day. But it's a remarkable just how quiet the ballpark got when that took place, number one. But number two, just underscore kind of what was going through your mind as you watched that all unfold. Because you were not a happy man at that point.
Well, you know, again, one of those things that happen in the game that you don't like to see happen that was completely unintentional. But you're looking at a guy that's, you know, playing at an elite level. And look, I care about all our guys. And don't want to see any of them get hit and discomfort. And, you know, he got hit and came down the line and, you know, was having some discomfort clearly. And just thankful he's okay. You know, that's the biggest thing about it. You know, you're obviously nervous for him and us, and just thankful like crazy that he was able to, after the game, say, I need to be in there tomorrow. I'm ready to go.
Hey, one final thought before we let you go. George Greer is a guy that you brought into the staff after you took over the helm. Here's a guy that has been waiting for this opportunity for a long time. Have you had a chance to spend any time with George just about being in the big leagues finally?
Yeah, you know, look, we all appreciate our opportunity to be in the big leagues, and, you know, Buddha and George, and, you know, I could not be happier. You talk about deserving. George Greer was drafted in 1968 by the St. Louis Cardinals, and a little after, he said, a couple weeks after the 50th anniversary of that taking place, he breaks in for the first time in the big leagues as a coach with the Cardinals. I mean, you talk about something that's really special and super cool, and clearly, you know, not speaking for him, but very meaningful for him. And I mean, just couldn't be more ecstatic that he's on the staff. He's a pro across the board. He's got tremendous information, presentation, demeanor, and a lot of respect for George, and just could not be happier for him.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your time. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Go get a win today. Have a very safe trip to Los Angeles and keep it going, my man.
Thanks, Mike. Have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too. Thank you. That is Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager. The Redbirds get set to close out the series against the Brewers with John Gant on the mound. 12:20, our pregame coverage begins. Coming up on Saturday, August the 25th, next Saturday at Gateway Motorsports Park, it'll be the running of the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 as IndyCar-style racing returns to Gateway. Curtis Francois is the owner of Gateway Motorsports Park. Good morning. How are you today?
Doing great. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and it's great that you, John Bomarito, and others have come together to once again return this spectacle in motorsports back to Gateway Motorsports Park. It's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Without a doubt, it's going to be exciting, and, you know, it's race week, so we could not be more excited to be bringing all the cars and the stars, the Indianapolis 500, to St. Louis for a second time. You know, if anything, if the sales, pre-sales are any indicator, it's going to be a great Saturday of racing.
Yes, tickets are still available, $35 a piece. Kids are 15 and under are free. A limited number of gold-level premium seats remain at $75. Call 618-215-8888, 618-215-8888. But, you know, the other thing, Curtis, aside from the financial impact, the economic impact on the area, there's also a charitable part of this too, isn't it?
You know, without a doubt, we have the Speed Week Festival that is going on right now. We actually have multiple events through the week. Many of those are charitable in nature. We have the Variety Club sponsored karting event that's going on later this week. Just a lot of different things that we do to try to interact with the community and use racing as a vehicle to raise money for different groups.
What do you think is the best opportunity for the fan to be able to get close and see some of these guys? What would you suggest in terms of the events that are lined up?
You know, I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that IndyCar does is give tremendous access to the drivers. And so through our the autograph sessions that we have that start at 3 o'clock, the paddock passes where you're going to get right up and close to the drivers, there's just so many opportunities for fans to come out and come out early, come out and see the spectacle and enjoy this for the event that it is, and certainly enjoy the racing. But part of the fun of these big events is interacting with the participants, and there's great access to the drivers all throughout the racetrack.
Look into the future. What are some other events that you're working on trying to bring to Gateway?
You know, we're always looking for the next step. Part of my job is to make sure that we pull off great events like we're working on right now, but to also be looking to the future to make sure that the next step is underway, and we're certainly looking towards that. We'd like to have more NASCAR here in St. Louis. But right now, we are just thrilled to have the Indy cars coming. Thrilled that you know, St. Louis gets an opportunity to see racing at its highest level. And with our kids under 15 for free and multiple other programs that we have, a lot of improvements going on at the racetrack, it's just a great opportunity to come out as a family and enjoy racing in St. Louis. And it's just enjoy being with people at a great event.
Hey, Curtis, thanks for your time this morning. Have a great event, and we'll continue to promote it here on KMOX.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All
have
right.
a great day.
Take care. That is Curtis Francois. He is the owner of Gateway Motorsports Park. Again, coming up on Saturday evening, the 25th. It is the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. Tickets, 618-215-8888. 618-215-8888. Kyle McClellan, Dennis Dodd, Patrick Risch, and John Mozeliak next hour on Sports on a Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.